Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark, and I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I've got two tickets to Paradise, and it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Lori from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But right. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I am very privileged to have a guest today that's I would say she is a Jill of all trades. Not only is she a talented actress, she's also a fashion correspondent. She's a cosmopolitan woman. She's lived all over the world. And I'm happy to have Sulin LaFontaine on with us right now. How are you doing, Sulin?
Hi, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hi, are you there? Now
yes,
I can hear you.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, hi. That was quite an introduction, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on. How exciting.
Yeah, no problem at all. And sorry for the confusion last week. And, you know, I'm absolutely happy to have you on the show, especially considering all the things that have happened to you over the past couple of months. It's been kind of a whirlwind, hasn't it?
It has been quite a whirlwind the whole year, to be honest. The last couple of months has been a lot of press stuff and just a lot of events and stuff going on, Sundance and South by Southwest and new projects. But, yes, I've been very blessed and just thrilled to be in Hollywood and just, you know, working on my passion and on my dream.
Yeah, I was at Sundance. I'm sorry to say we couldn't catch up. I can catch up with you there when you were up there, but you were there with Murder the Monster.
Oh, that's a bummer.
How was it? Yeah. Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It was a project that was backed by MTV, and I was directly booked for it because I've worked with them in the past on another piece called Fast Food Heights, a web series. And, you know, it's a terrific, fun piece to work with, you know, animation and a lot of special effects. And it's Myrna is basically an alien that's dropped, you know, into space and she's a puppet. And so it's just a fun, great project and a great cast to work with. We sold out. We had four screenings and sold out completely. We also, after Sundance, got picked up for South by Southwest and did extremely well. And now it's in Atlanta for the film festival there. So it's just doing the festival circuit. And I was just really blessed to be a part of a great project like that, too, and fun.
Was that the first time you got to see Myrna with an audience?
Yes, that was just very different. You know, you get to see dailies, or you get to see various clips here and there, but it's very different when you're sitting there interacting with an audience and just to see, you know, the reception and just feeling really grateful and proud. And a lot of time, you know, being an actress, when you're sitting there with your audience, you know, and you get a feedback of how the project was and, you know, how much heart and soul you put into something. And it's just nice to see that you know, the reception from the audience and just having them, you know, a part of your life and your projects, and it brings it to life.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your background. I mean, like I said, you've lived all over the world. How did you get started in acting?
Well, you know, I consider myself a global citizen. You know, I'm mixed with like five or six different ethnicities, and grew up kind of like all over the world. New York has always been home, but you know, I've considered home as a globe for me. Very fortunate with great phenomenal family and parents. Acting has always sort of like been a part of my life. You know, performing, I kind of like born, you know, out of my mom's womb as a performer, I think, singing and dancing and kicking. but it was something I did as a child. You know, you don't really think about, well, I'm going to grow up and become an actor, right? It's just, that's just not how society is. It's always been a part of my life, however. But, you know, I went on to do medical school. I went on to do fashion or fine arts as a double major with biology and medicine. And then 7 years into it, medical school, I just decided, you know what, my heart isn't in medicine. My heart really is in the arts. And so from there, I left and worked in Paris as a couture designer for Yves Saint Laurent and a few other people, and even had my own collection for a while. And the catalyst for getting back into acting, as per your question, I was in New York during September 11th, and I was caught in the whole thing and was trapped in the rubbles and got rescued. And my life pretty much changed at that moment. And I made the decision once I got out of all of that, moved back to New York, enrolled in school at William Esper, did a 2-year program there, did film school at AFI, and started working as an actor full time since 2004. It changed my life, 9/11. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that must have
been... This part of my life a lot of people do not know.
Yeah. Well, were you in the main towers, or where were you when it happened? I mean, obviously, obviously a harrowing experience.
Right. I was in my flat. I had just moved from another place in Soho down to downtown Tribeca, and I was like a block and a half directly in front of the towers. On the 22nd floor, and I witnessed everything. And, you know, after the first plane, for me, I called down to the doorman and assumed it was just an accident, and it was like a total chaos downstairs. So he said, don't come down. Anyway, I saw the second plane making the turn and then turned around coming towards the second tower, and I knew that was it. And I ran. Basically barely got out the door of my loft when the building shook. And what happened was pieces of the second plane and the wing hit our building. And so, you know, it didn't take long. By the time I made it downstairs, the first tower collapsed. And, you know, and that's pretty much how it happened.
Wow. And it's great to be able to see you've kind of come out of this, you know, in one piece, as it were. Go ahead.
It was a tough day for everyone, especially New Yorkers, and you know, for myself to be directly affected by it and nearly losing my life. It gave me new perspective on life. Not that I ever took anything for granted, but you know, it made me reevaluate everything again. And of course, it was very tough. You know, it's like the rug being pulled out from under you. I lost my apartment. You know, my life up until 9/11 was just wiped out. But, you know, somehow, you know, you find the courage to get up and dust off everything. And you go through whatever you need to find your center again and peace. And you move on. And that's what life is about, you know, getting up every time you fall and having great people around you to love you, protect you, and you nurture you. And, you know, a decade later, I'm here, I'm doing what I love, and I'm just blessed, so blessed. I can't, you know, even say it enough. But it was hard. It was very hard. I won't say it. You know, the depression, the feeling of complete, utter loss. But, you know, you have to look at the glass half full and not half empty. I've always been taught that. And, you know, I was just blessed that I was alive. A lot of people didn't make it out. So yeah, you know, what's left of me, I'm definitely going to pursue my passion and make every day count.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to take a positive spin on that, that, you know, you were able to kind of rise from the ashes, as it were, and really start to, you know, start to reinvent yourself as, you know, a very talented actress, as well as everything else that you are right now, too. I want to talk about New York City as a place. You said that you actually studied film in New York, if I got that correct, right?
Yes, I did. After the ordeal of September 11th, I moved back from to New York from Europe for good, and enrolled in William Esper and did a 2-year actors conservatory there. I also went to AFI just to learn about, you know, the technical stuff behind film and camera work. Because one day I like to direct and tell my stories. So, you know, it's just, for me as an actor, you could, you know, there's knowledge is out there and you just have to like search for it. And I think as an actor, it's a good thing to know in terms of film work and the technicality behind it. I think it makes you a stronger actor.
Yeah. And it gets to know what's going on in terms of what's behind the camera. I mean, what a camera person is looking through that lens, they want you to do a certain way or shoot a certain way, or why there's lights in certain positions. And it helps you with your, you know, where does need to stand and what's important for you to get the perfect image. So, I think
absolutely. You are very correct.
Aspect of that.
Yes, I think it's important, you know, but I've always been curious about it, too. I don't really do anything ever. So once I dive into it, that's it, you know, all the way.
Yeah, now I was going to mention that, you know, I talked to a lot of filmmakers on the show, but a majority of them studied in Los Angeles and they kind of did that as well. But coming from New York, and, you know, a lot of people don't know that. Well, they kind of know that New York has a really good, rich film history, but they also have some really good film schools out there as well. I mean,
schools like NYU, and there's just a lot of different places. But not only that, I think New York is primarily known for theater over the years. Although things are changing now with New York having at least 30 shows right now, I'm debating if I made the right move. No, you know what? Each city has different things to offer, I think. And I think if a performer wants to primarily focus on stage, New York would be a great place to train and to perform. But as far as moving into feature and feature cinema and feature films, that obviously would be Los Angeles, or it has been. I think things are also changing now. You know, we see a lot of production has gone to, or a lot of production have gone to Georgia and North Carolina and Vancouver for years, Tennessee now too, Utah. I think that the dynamic of filmmaking in the world has changed, and I don't think that we're no longer confined to a place. And it's also the cost factor as a big part, you know, tax incentives and everything, and it's big for entertainment. You know, when you're doing a film that's $50 million, you can't really, you know, stay somewhere and not get the tax break of 40% that, say, Georgia is offering.
Yeah, and I also want to mention Toronto as well. They're doing a pretty good job as well in terms of filmmaking as well. And yeah, I mean, I think with New York, the idea. Go ahead.
I think, and this past year they just passed a law, so California is getting a lot of tax incentives too. So hopefully the film industry here will pick up again. I mean, it's such a perfect place for it. You know, California is beautiful, but, you know, it's got that thing. So now hopefully things will get worked out and things will change again.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting here in Vegas right now. There are some inklings. It's not too far off from there as well. And in Vegas, the location has been very popular as of in the last, you know, decade or so for a backdrop for movies. So it's kind of an interesting time, and you're exactly right. There are just there's so much everything. The technology has gotten to the point where being able to haul equipment from one place to another is a lot easier than it used to be, and
absolutely,
a lot cheaper than it used to be. So that helps
for sure
as well.
And not only that, but shooting now digitally, because, you know, when I was in film school, a lot of it was basically about filmmaking and shooting with film. But now there's a lot of digital cameras out there and the technology has changed. So it makes it a lot easier for filmmakers. And we have so many now. And there's a lot, the vibe of independent film cinema is coming back. So that's also kind of nice to see. And the web, of course, there's a lot of content on the web too. And there's all these outlets and channels and everyone's looking to make content. So hopefully that'll bring a lot more, you know, into the business for a lot of us performers.
Yeah, because I was talking to that. So I had Summer Moore on yesterday, and she's a filmmaker. I think she's out of Denver. She used to be out of Denver. She shot her film out of Denver. But we were talking about that. Is that the idea that? And this is something that I was at one of the talks at Sundance, the panel with the TV panel, which had the A&E television department on there. It had quite a few great actors. Jason Moore was on that panel. And I had asked, and I know my listeners are going to be bored to death that they do this story again, but you're going to listen to it one more time. I asked the head of the A&E network, about what if Breaking Bad would have made it, in the past. I mean, can they take more risks? Basically is what I asked. And he had said that, in the past, you know, with the availability of there's a limited availability of entertainment in terms of channels that was accessible to people. So, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, the ratings were very important. You had to have really, really, really good ratings. And he said if Breaking Bad would have aired in the 90s, the ratings wouldn't have said that they'd bring it back for another season. But now that the availability of on demand and so many other networks that are out there now, now the rating standard has lowered to that as well. So it's an interesting time right now. There's a lot of entertainment going on. People are taking risks. People are trying to do as much content as they possibly can, and there's so many outlets right now to be able to do that. So kind of the extent of what you're talking about.
More than ever, which is really terrific. You know, there are a lot of filmmakers and artists and stories to be told. And I think now it's just giving a lot of people a lot more access. And not only that, but to give the viewers, you know, a lot more options. And, you know, in order for things to work, you have to have a great storyline. And I don't think it really matters which platform you're on, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or one of the main, you know, channels. I think people are just tuning in everywhere and anywhere they can now, you know, on most mobile gadgets and devices, right?
Yeah, you know.
So it's all good. Very
anywhere.
Interesting time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is.
Very interesting time.
You can access it anywhere. And, you know, I mean, if you're in an airport, you're going to be able to watch something there in an airport, you know. And it's just a really interesting time to be able to be an actor or an actress. It's great to be able to talk about that as well. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting in terms of that as well. I was going to mention that, you know, obviously New York was a great place for stage. There's always the crossover. There's a lot of film actors that are making the crossover to stage, and they're doing that for a little while and then going back to film as well. And there used to be that. There wasn't that. It seemed like there wasn't really that.
It wasn't so much so before, and I think now, yes, for sure, there's a lot of crossover, and people are just jumping back and forth, and a lot of it is also wanting to hone a very specific craft. You know, acting for stage is completely different than acting for multi-camera or for a film.
And you get an instant reaction from the audience versus
absolutely
on film or television. So,
right, that instant,
you know,
feedback.
Rush. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and of course, there's no room for mistake, which is also fun, you know, the instant feedback from the audience right away. I think that was the exhilaration for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, going off of what we're talking about, you know, it being a global market now, I mean, you know, you have so many advantages now in terms of you can speak local languages, and you've traveled the world a lot. You know, are you thinking a little bit more globally now in terms of getting roles? I mean, there are so many other markets right now that are growing. The Chinese market's growing really, really fast right now in terms of entertainment. You know, is that something that's in back of your mind?
Oh, absolutely. It has always been a part of my mind. I grew up in a very global environment, so that has always been there. But I think it's now time Hollywood and everyone else here in America is finally catching up, and especially with China opening up, a few years ago. It's got a huge market, and it has always been on the back of my mind. It's always been a part of my life. Unfortunately, it hasn't been here until now, so it's kind of nice. You know, I'm speaking to particularly in Japan and China and Vietnam. So that is for sure. And I am hoping that, you know, I can utilize my skills and languages. That'd be great. Plus get in some traveling time as well. It's always good to take a break and, you know, shoot somewhere new and work cast and new team.
Yeah.
And
somewhere exotic
helped.
Yeah, I was talking to Jamie Detella when I was out there at Sundance, and she's a producer out with Blue Eye Pictures, and we were talking about that she is going over to China to start filming some stuff over there. So she's she's going full bore into it as well. So you'll like her too. She's shot a lot of car commercials.
Well,
she's making her way into feature films. So.
Perhaps introduce us.
I'll have to do that. I'll make sure when you get off the air, I'll forward you her name. She might actually be able to use you.
That'd be wonderful. Yes, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. You know what? I think
anyway,
for me also now, but it's also important. Mm-hmm. I reach out to a lot of female directors and producers because not only because of me, but I think that it has been a market that's been overlooked, and there are so many amazing female filmmakers, and the opportunities are just now, the doors are just now opening for them as well. So it's great to be able to collaborate with another female. And so for me, that's important also to work in an environment where diversity is accepted.
Yeah, I was talking yesterday about that. You know, there is a movement right now, and I don't know if you felt it when you were at Sundance, but I was talking to Jamie and a bunch of other people that I think next year, come Sundance, we're going to see a lot more female directors. There's a push this year to put a lot more female directors to the forefront, and writers as well. So it's been an interesting year. I think there's been it started last year, and now it seems like this year there's more of a push for more female directors and writers to be involved in terms of film and entertainment in general. So it's been an interesting year, and I think next year, I mean, we're probably going to see a lot of that over at Sundance if you end up going.
Right, I'll probably be there. I've seen the movement in the last 5 years or so, but more so now, more evident than ever, and it's a phenomenal thing. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Obviously starting with Kathryn Bigelow a few years back, you know, with Hurt Locker, and it's women are actually, you know, making the limelight now. And I think that why not, you know, great. There are a lot of great, you know, filmmakers out there who are females, and there's really no reason why they shouldn't be able to tell their stories as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really hoping and fingers crossed to be able to do that as well. And, I think that my plan next year is to be at Sundance. So we'll have to definitely meet up there if we don't do it before.
Okay, for sure. We'll stay in touch.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, I want to kind of go into what's been going on now. First of all, how did you get into stunt driving?
I grew up with brothers and boys and have always been a tomboy, and the love of fast cars and old cars and it's always been like that for me. I was a black sheep in the family, and if my mom ever say, well, he can do it because he's a boy and he's your brother and he's older, you know what, you know, I'm there and I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna try to do it better. It's always been that competitive mentality in a very loving environment, but it's always been sort of like competing with my brothers to sort of vibe. And so as I started riding motorcycle when I was 13 years old, got into cars a few years later, and just sort of like liking to be, I've always loved to be around that environment. I find it a lot more exhilarating and a lot more fun than playing with Barbie dolls. So that's sort of like how everything happened. I didn't, you know, start acting with the the hope or the idea that I'm going to actually become a stunt driver. It was just something that's a part of my passion and part of, you know, I'm very passionate about as part of my life. And I think that's also very important to mention that, you know, whether it's performing or whatever it is you do, as I think it's first and foremost, passion is key. And I think once you just pursue that and just stay true to your art and your craft, everything will work out the way that, you know, it should. And so that's sort of like being on set and being spotted and just doing what I love after hours just for fun. I was spotted and got put into a film or got asked to be in a film as one of the stunt drivers. This was in Australia years ago on another project. I was there as a wardrobe stylist designer for the film. And that kind of like planted a seed in my head. This was prior to getting back into film work and acting again. But then I got certified in Europe when I got back to France and at the International Stunt Association, and been riding and just being on the track and getting seat time in as much as I can. And I ride a motorcycle when I was living in Europe too. So it just always been a fun thing for me, a passionate thing. And when I moved out to LA or started coming out to LA for work, I was on a commercial and I met a stunt driver for the car commercial. And I was like, wait, there's actually a stunt driver in this. And now pretty much every car commercial, there's probably one or two stunt drivers. I'm like, you know what? Let me think about this again. So I just kind of like dove into it, met a bunch of people, got introduced to a bunch of people and let them, you know, show them my ability and skills. And just been very fortunate to be booked. Probably have shot about 30 spots, everything from Kia to Nissan to Progressive. Most people just don't know it's me, but, you know, I can see my spot and say, hey, that's my spot.
Yeah, now do you own any cool cars or anything, or are you just swinging with what you can afford?
It's funny because people always ask me that, like, what kind of cool cars do you drive? And for me, I'm a motorcycle girl, so I used to have a couple of 650 CS BMWs. In New York and also in Paris. But now in LA, I moved out here this past year, and I'm just trying to also be very responsible and very green. So I actually have a hybrid. I'm like, it's a good car. You know, it's a good production car. I can just throw my gadget and gears and everything, you know, gear and gadgets in trunk or in the back of the car, the trunk, and just go on the road with it, you know, whether it's my bike stuff or my boots or my helmet or, you know, surfboard, bike, or whatnot. So you know, California, it's a California car. When I get crazy is when I'm on the track and when I'm on the track riding, whether it's cars or bikes, yeah.
And now
it's
on the absolute opposite tip. And on the absolute opposite tip, where we'll end with talking a little bit about, you said that you did costume design. You've hosted a couple shows as well and done a lot of fashion as well. I mean, that must be a lot of fun for you.
It's very funny because like I've worked in fashion for years at a couture house and plus having my own company a while back. I've always been in front of a camera on a carpet, you know, as a TV host. I did stuff with MySpace way back when. I'm sure you remember them. MTV, I cover a lot of carpets and events and interview a lot of celebrities. That's just something that I do on the side. So it's also nice, you know, to know that, hey, I can get out of my grubs and just be able to throw on a dress and can look presentable and under carpet. So it's when people see me, sometimes like, wait, what do you do? Are you a host? Are you an actress? Are you a stunt driver? I'm like, why choose? I'm of the, you know, I'm a modern woman, you know. Very fortunate in that sense. Had a lot of fun. Or been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's great to be able to see that.
My motto is don't put me in a box.
Yeah, exactly. You don't put baby in a corner.
Or in the back. We say that a lot at fashion shows, you know, being front on the front row is important. Like, nobody puts baby in the back. No, no one puts baby in their back.
This is an age where you can do it all. You don't have to be tied down with one single thing. So Yeah, you can, and definitely, your life's absolutely exciting to be able to see you do so many different things as well. And what's coming up for you? Obviously this has been a whirlwind of a year so far, but how, anything we can expect for you this year that you can announce at all?
Well, absolutely. But let's just touch on this real quick. What you just said to wrap it out is part of the conversation. I think it's about the freedom to choose more than anything. The fact that we now can choose to do whatever we want or not, and be able to transform ourselves if necessary. And especially now with today's society, I think that we can no longer wear just one hat, as a performer, as an artist, as anything really. You have to think outside of the box, and you have to wear a lot of hats, and you have to be flexible and versatile. So the timing is perfect, and it's not just, the opportunity presenting themselves, but it's about creating, recreating ourselves and being able to just go out there and make choices and just have fun, have a lot of fun and put on a lot of hats. And, I'm in training now for a new film, Red to Black. I'm a vampire hunter. That's lovely. And then a couple projects in Asia, so that's exciting too, possibly learning Japanese. So it's like, okay, a lot of things are now just in the talks. And
I'm happy
for the opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny story is that Jamie had, we were talking about her moving out to China, and she knows fluent Japanese. She actually started her company out in Tokyo. Now she's learning Chinese.
That's impressive.
Right now, so yeah.
Smart woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Good for her.
Yeah, I will hook you up with her, because I think you two are going to
be terrific.
Very, very well.
I think we will be friends.
Yeah. I want to mention, you guys follow Sulin on Twitter, at Sulin, S-U-L-I-N-H, on Twitter. So make sure you always follow her on there, so you can read the Wall Street Journal article and the Cosmopolitan article as well. And I believe you're also on Facebook, aren't you?
Yes, I have two Facebook. There's both Sulin LaFontaine. One is my actor's page, and the other one, the official actor page. And then there's a kind of like a friend social page. I'm also on Instagram at Sulin LaFontaine, on Pinterest, on Tumblr. I'm on IMDb as well. Just look for me there. Pretty much everywhere, really. I'm here, there, everywhere. I kind of like that,
Yeah, we didn't even get into the...
And, of course, that's my website as well.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about what I'm about, then obviously sulinlafontaine.com.
Yeah, because I was going to say that we didn't even scratch the surface of all the stuff that you've done in film. We only maybe mentioned a little bit of it. So
then I guess I'll have to come back.
Yes, you have to come back.
There's a reason to come back again.
Yeah, well, hopefully when the new movie comes out, when you get this new movie feature, comes out, we'll get you back on the show. If not before then, we'll definitely try to hook up over at Sundance at some point next year.
For sure. Please stay in touch. I would love to come back. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great for me, too. It's been absolutely fascinating to be able to talk to you about everything we have. And like I said, we haven't, we could have gone another hour if we needed to.
Well, a reason to come back, but,
reason to come back. Yeah, exactly.
Touch. Yeah, please stay in touch. And then there will always be other stuff coming up and things coming out. And, I try to keep my life pretty interesting. So a lot is happening and a lot of exciting stuff all the time. But check out Fear 7. It's going to be a fun, entertaining film. One of the best.
Yeah, definitely.
So far.
Check her out in the film. You'll be able to see her.
And let's see if you can spot me. No, I'm just kidding. Spot which car I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Sulin, like I said, absolute pleasure. We'll definitely get you back on. It was an awesome, fun time to be able to talk to you. And best of luck to you coming up this year, and congratulations on Fast 7. I know it's going to be a blockbuster this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Mark. Take care, and my best wishes to you as well. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for all the love and support. I wouldn't be here today without family, friends, and fans, if I can say that now. So thank you for everyone, and God bless everyone.
Thanks, Sulin, and have a fun time. Have a fun time this year.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, see you, man. Bye.